Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include investor attitudes, my interview with Guaranteed Rates Victor Ciardelli on the company's goal of closing a loan in one day and how they will get there, and current credit conditions. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Calc. Given that rates are the highest they've been in decades, how can homeowners be convinced to move into a new home? With the trade and mortgage powered by Calc, homeowners can buy before they sell, make non-contingent offers, and tap their home equity to fund the down payment on their next home. The result? Lenders help their clients negotiate a lower purchase price, reduce their interest payments, and eliminate PMI. Investor attitudes drive investor demand, and therefore rates. So, what is driving investor attitudes? There's escalated geopolitical uncertainty between Iran and Israel. Central bankers are girding for potential oil shocks that could reignite consumer price growth. There's rising volatility amidst a fear of potential rate increases due to sticky inflation. Voting Fed members have not ruled out the possibility of a future rate hike and have urged patience for any potential easing until at least year end. There's also cautious optimism surrounding the world economy. Earnings season continues on Wall Street this week. And new economic releases are always on the docket, even if most are backward looking. Q1 GDP, due out later this week, is expected to have risen to 2.9% as of the most recent estimate. More germane to the mortgage industry, we learned last week that existing home sales were down 4.3% during the month of March. Meanwhile, housing starts fell 14.7% in March, although some of the decline was attributed to weather conditions in parts of the country. In terms of the American consumer, retail sales in March rose 0.7%, which was well above market expectations for a 0.3% increase. Additionally, retail sales from February were revised higher from the initial release. The 1.1% jump in control group sales led some economists to increase their forecasts for personal consumption growth in the first quarter. For today's interview, I'm very excited to welcome to the show Guaranteed Rates Victor Ciardelli to talk about a variety of things, from personal success to his company's growth. He's the president and CEO of Guaranteed Rate, and after founding Guaranteed Rate in June of 2000, it's now the third largest mortgage retail lender in the United States. The company's mission is to deliver more value to customers than any other bank or mortgage company. And it was built on the principles of low rates, groundbreaking technology, complete transparency, excellent customer service, and a quick, easy mortgage experience.
I do want to talk about you getting into mortgage in the first place. I mean, Guaranteed Rate started, I think it was June of 2000. It was all about delivering more value to customers than any other bank or mortgage company. We've come a long way since you founded it almost 24 years ago. What was the original inspiration though for entering the industry and founding Guaranteed Rate?
Really to scale a business that I could, you know, get involved in, scale a business, and then ultimately provide a better value proposition to our customers than any other bank or mortgage company in the country. So that was it. It's just like as simple as, you know, let's figure out how to really focus on the customer experience, and deliver them something that's better than what was currently out there. And that was in 2000. So,
well, I guess maybe I should phrase it as, why mortgage and not hot dogs at a ballpark or leggings for yoga? What was it about mortgage that was appealing?
Good question. Yeah. I mean, as far as that goes, it wasn't, mortgage was just like, I didn't even know what mortgage was, right? It's like, you know, I was just got out of college. One of the things, I tell this story a lot, but I saw a guy in my life, Wayne Huizenga, it was after he bought his first garbage truck, and he scaled it to being the largest waste company in the world, which is waste management. And then he did a bunch of other stuff. And I saw, you know, I was like friends with his son. I was my dad bought his house when we were kids, and I went to school with like his partner's kids. And so it was weird, kind of weird thing, but I saw this guy who was like creating all this stuff. And I just was like, yeah, I'm like, if he can do it, I can do it. And like, why not? Right. And so that's really what it was. And I had nothing to do with, I didn't know anything about mortgage. I just wanted to be a part of something that I wanted to scale and grow a business significantly, but I didn't know what that would be. And it just happened to land in the mortgage, you know, how I landed in the mortgage is I sold commercial real estate. One of the guys who I was selling commercial real estate with went to work for a mortgage company. He called me up. I went and went two nights as a telemarketer just to kind of check it out. And I liked it. And I thought, hey, let's go start our own mortgage company. And he laughed, thought I was crazy. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. Let's start our own mortgage company. So it was, we did. And it was insanely painful, trying to learn the business. But I had, I didn't have anything. I had two nickels to scratch together. So we realized that we were friends, but not had the same work ethic. He was a liquid lunch guy. You know, he was cocktailing like in the middle of the day. And I was like, yeah, I was like, dude, this is not working. He and I agreed to split, and we had nothing anyway, so it didn't really matter. But then that company was called Guaranteed Financial Mortgage. And that was in, January of 1992. And started that company, and I ran that for 8 years, and then kept trying to scale it, kept trying to build it, and it was brutal. And what I realized was it came down to, you know, every day I get up, you know, we're just like everybody else out there, and we're not doing anything different than anyone else. Let's figure out a plan that could provide a better value proposition to our customers. And then that was the formation of Guarantee Rate. We started Guarantee Rate in 2000 and then launched from there as a startup in Chicago, became the largest market share, I think, in the city or city and surrounding areas within 3 years, which is pretty incredible. And then from there, just really kind of continued to keep driving that. And then didn't really go outside of Chicago for like, it was a while. It was like maybe 6 years, 5-6 years. But then all of a sudden it was like from there, we really started to move and started to penetrate other markets and build and grow. And, you know, it's kind of where we're at today.
I was going to say, you've certainly done an amazing job of scaling it. Guaranteed Rate has a massive footprint across America. So now that you have scaled it, if that was your original motivation, what motivates you day to day now? What gets you out of bed? What gets you going?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't changed. Honestly, it's the exact same thing. So during the pandemic, one of the things we came out with, the first digital mortgage platform before Rocket did, they came out after us, and they were about 8 months later. And when we came out with the digital mortgage platform, it was all about thinking about the customer experience, and making it easier and smoother for them in the process. And I remember I was all excited. I launched it out to we were in Mexico, and I was at a President's Club trip, and I was like, I'm going to show you this. We had the digital mortgage, put it up on the screen, went through the whole thing. And I thought I was going to get applause and people were going to get all excited. And I said, my job is to make your job easier so you can spend more time being a rainmaker. That's my job, is to make your job easier so you can spend more time being a rainmaker. You don't have to get in your car and drive out to somebody's house or take the application over the phone. All that time spent that you're doing that, now you could go out and, you know, talk to more real estate agents or builders or financial planners. This is going to be great. And then everyone looking at me like, wait, you're trying to replace our job? You're trying to replace us? What's going on here? And I'm like, no, it's the exact opposite. I'm trying to make you more efficient so you can do more. Like, that's the whole goal. And it was eventually, you know, people got on board and got behind it and then realized it was like, oh, this is great. And then the whole industry now, obviously, you know, doesn't operate unless it's all on digital mortgage. So the concept was, all right, so we advanced the technology and we also built a system outside of, as a continuation of digital mortgage, which was an intuitive platform to basically ask the customer questions on things that the originator or the processor is going to ask, and just be intuitive and proactive to be able to get that information to move the file through quicker. But the one piece that I felt like was missing, and the key to this whole thing was and is an AI underwriter component, right? And it's taking all of the guidelines, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac guidelines, and it's taking all of that and understanding that, and then it's taking the borrower's paycheck stub and their W-2, have document recognition of those documents, extracting the pertinent information of those documents, and then doing the income calculation per the Fannie Freddie guidelines, and not only then doing the income calc, but then understanding it's also reading the guidelines once you have the income calc, and then validating the automated underwriting finding of income, right? And so that was my goal. That was literally started just before the pandemic, and then was working on it. And then we had an acquisition. We bought a company called AI Foundry out of Boston. Kodak owned them. So we bought them because they were really good on document recognition, and they had some good AI components. And then I put a team together, and then decided, you know what, I'm going to create this as an independent company. And then so we had it as an independent company called Gateless, because I figured, just like digital mortgage, this technology will end up being the technology that everybody will use all the time and create this crazy efficiency. So why not be on the front end to deliver the technology and provide this to other mortgage companies, banks, financial, you know, like anybody who would need it, right, and want it. So fast forward 4 years ago to now, the technology actually works. We have everything, as I just described, is actually in place. We have rep and warrant relief with Freddie Mac on the income calcs, which is phenomenal. And we've been using it as an underwriting engine for the most part to create the more efficiency within underwriting. But we're going to be moving it to a consumer facing piece of technology as part of the digital mortgage experience. So the actual consumer will have a full approval on income without a human, without any humans at all, without a loan officer, a processor, or an underwriter. Now the underwriter then, and there's a team that will check for fraud of that information and make sure that they have fraud checks. And we have technology that will also identify it. But essentially, it's approved at the point of sale without a human. So we're changing the game. And what we did was we came up with a strategy called Same Day Mortgage, which we utilized the technology to be able to create the efficiencies with Same Day Mortgage. So we're getting loans when people think we have people coming on. It was even funny. People we recruited and come on, they still thought that it was a gimmick of Same Day Mortgage. But then all of a sudden they came on, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm actually getting my majority of my conforming loans approved in like 24, 48 hours. Like, this is like nuts. Like I really didn't even think that was really real. I thought it was just a coined phrase. But the thing is, what we're doing is now we're taking the technology, instead of it being same day, it's going to be instant. So we're going to be able to put it on the front end. The customers will get that approval. We also are doing it with bank statements on assets too. So you could essentially clear credit, clear income, and clear assets. And then, of course, if you have an appraisal waiver, you could just go ahead and close the loan right away. If you have, and of course, you have to get the title and insurance. But if you need an appraisal, fine. You just order the appraisal. You could close the loan in, you know, 5, 6 days, 7 days. So again, The only limitation is, kind of now with the government time period in order to be able to get it closed. So that's what really excites me is like being able to do stuff like that, really advancing the business and changing the way the consumer gets a loan. That's what excites me. The doing that, making a difference in the consumer experience, and then helping our originators be more efficient for them to be able to go out and do more. So normally it'd be like, okay, what you're doing is trying to get rid of the originator again, right? Now it's like really thinking that you can do that. Actually, it's not, because truthfully, as it becomes to life's biggest purchase, right? If it was me, I still want a trusted source of somebody who can hold my hand through the process, right? And then as I have somebody hold my hands through the process, I also want a technology-enabled AI platform that can get my loan approved instantly, right? I mean, like, why wouldn't I want that? While I could talk to a loan officer and make sure I pick the right program, I pick the right interest rate, I have somebody, you know, shepherd me through the process. So I tell my originators, lean into the tech, lean into the efficiency of the process, go out there and sell it as an advantage in the marketplace. Customers love it because it's certainty and they're getting trust and it's getting done and instantly. Real estate agents love it for the exact same reason: trust, certainty, right? And everything's done quick. Sellers the seller loves it as well as the sell side agent loves it. So again, now the loan officer could just sell the technology, sell the efficiency of this platform, sell themselves on making sure that they can take care of the customer all the way through. And then they're also more efficient to be a rainmaker and go out there and build more business and grow the business itself, right? So that's really what excites me, is kind of like, it's like finally getting this dinosaur industry into the digital age and really changing the way the consumer gets a loan and changing the way everybody gets a loan, like changing the whole thing. The way that I'm describing it is what's going to be like, and again, I'm going to continue. I have ideas where I'm going to go with this, but I'm going to continue to keep pushing this along and just making the experience better. And then, you know, of course, you know, it just, you know, the whole business changes in a positive way for everybody.
Yeah. I want to give you some kudos, because I think to compare you to some competitors, they're very focused on, if it distracts from what we're doing, we don't need to. You're like, hey, let's try all these different things. Let's like see what sticks and what's going to work. I'm fine with all these different digital ideas, like proof it out and let's see if it leads to real meaningful change in the industry. You always been like that? You always been kind of a tinkerer? Like, hey, if it worked, like, let's go with it. I can be in a bunch of different places.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like a big, you know, it's like a big chess match. You know, it's like, it's fun. You know, it's like, I love the people I work with. I love doing what I'm doing. People always ask, you know, you've been doing it for a while. You know, you know, you've done well. You know, why you keep doing it? I mean, like, first of all, I'm in the longevity. I plan on living for a long time. So, if, you know, I like doing it. I actually love doing what I'm doing. I love the people I'm working with, and it's fun. So it's like, yeah, I'm like, I love tinkering and trying to change it and figure it out. And also it's great because I work with so many good people, like my originators, I work with them and they're so used to this, right? So, you know, they're used to the velocity of the technology and the things that we're doing, that things are changing. And I have now early people who weren't early adopters are now early adopters to technology and kind of the advancement of where we're going with it, which is really fun.
Yeah, I bet turning people from non-believers into believers is pretty satisfying. That ties into what I want to ask you next. I mean, by any measure, really, Guaranteed Rate has been a massive success. You're the second largest retail lender in America. How do you personally measure success?
I guess a bunch of things. Customer experience, right? How the customers feel about us and the service and what we're delivering to them. Really, how our employees feel, right? And how our originators feel about the platform and the service. I guess overall growth. I mean, my goal is to be number one. So you know, that has been the goal from the time I started Guarantee Rate. It's still the goal today. We're not there yet. But I'm excited about what we're doing and the plans that we have, you know, as far as being able to execute and get the number one. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's it. And then, you know, personal success is it's definitely not money. It's really family, friends. It's connection with people, doing, you know, fun, cool things with people I love. It's, you know, focusing on fitness, nutrition, you know, it's about experiences, you know, the money stuff. I never focused on the money, right? It was always more around focusing on the customer and just, I figured everything else was going to work. If I focused on the customer, I focused on the customer experience and drove that. That the money would always come, but I wasn't never really hung up on, you know, like my goal is to make this amount of money. And this was like, you know, I just don't think that way, you know?
So if we could go back to May 2000, you know, month before you started Guarantee Rate, and modern day Victor could talk to the Victor, that any advice you would give him, words of wisdom?
Yeah, I think, well, I'm very different as a person today than I was then. I was, ego was a big thing for me back then. I wanted to be on, you know, I don't know, just wanted to be, you know, recognized, I guess, from a success standpoint. I had a chip on my shoulder. While I was growing, I did a lot of self-work, you know, I got divorced, 9 years ago, went through a tough period there, did a bunch of stuff on personal work. I was a very angry, kid. And that anger lasted a big part of my life, and I had to really get to a peaceful place. So the one thing that I would say has made a massive difference in my peace and happiness in my life is really getting to a place where I just was able to work on myself and kind of forgive others, forgive myself, you know, just did a lot of self-work to create a level of peace. And, you know, one thing I would have done differently for sure is not been as big of an asshole as I was driving. I was just like, for me, it was like, all right, I'm going to take that hill and we're going to go do it. And if you get in my way, I'm going to run you over to get there. Right. And it created a lot of problems for me in my life, relationships, people that I liked, just because I was so freaking determined to win. And I drove so hard that, you know, that wasn't, I would love to do all that over, you know, because I do believe that there's a way to do what you want to do and drive the way you want to drive, but do it in a way which is more tactful. And, you know, and there's a different level of communication. I was just, you know, I had a lot of energy, a lot of anger, a lot of drive. I was just like, so, I mean, if I was to do it all over again, I would change a bunch, to be honest with you. And I would tell that person to calm the hell down and just be cooler and just, you know, chill, but, you know, you got to do the work to be able to get there. So, you know, I think if I was to go back and do it all over again, that's really what would be a key component.
It's good advice. And I don't want to take too much of your time today, so I'm going to close with this. Now that you continue to grow as a person and you know, growth is a lifelong process for all of us, but at this juncture in time, what would you like your tombstone to eventually say? This is after you'd lived to 125, set new living records, 135, however long you're going to go.
Exactly. What would I want my tombstone to say? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, he made a difference in the world. You know, he gave more than he took. You know, that's a big piece is, you know, I definitely want to be on this world and feel like I made a better a contribution. And by being on the planet was better served that I was here than if I wasn't, you know? So that's really the key component, I think.
Very well put. Hey, man, I love this. This was great. Real pleasure from my end. So thank you. Very appreciative.
Good meeting you. And good luck on the rest of your bike ride across the country.
Thank you. This will be airing probably the day that I get to New York. I'm going to the Knicks Sixers playoff game, Madison Square Garden, game two. Very excited about that. So hopefully we make it there for that.
You got to let me know how you did. Yeah, I love it.
Bank economists are growing more optimistic about the outlook for credit conditions compared to the latter half of 2023, according to the American Bankers Association's latest credit conditions index. Conditions are expected to improve for a second consecutive quarter, this upcoming quarter, which would mark the highest level in 2 years, reflecting a moderate increase in optimism. Job growth is expected to continue, inflation is forecasted to ease toward the Fed's 2% target, and 3 rate cuts are expected by the end of the year. This week's highlights include month-end supply, consisting of $183 billion in fixed coupons and $44 billion of two-year FRNs auctioned over tomorrow through Thursday. Flash PMIs from S&P Global, new home sales, Fed surveys, durable goods, Q1 GDP, PCE, and Michigan sentiment. It's a pretty busy week. No Fed speakers are scheduled, with the Fed in blackout ahead of the May 1st and 2nd FOMC meeting. And the week gets off to a quiet start with one data point, Chicago Fed national activity for March, due out later this morning. We start Monday with 30-year agency MBS prices worse roughly an eighth from Friday evening, and the 10-year yielding 4.65 after closing last week at 4.62%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. When I was young, my father showed me a 30-minute presentation on why one should always use protection during sex. All the slides were just pictures of me. Thanks again to today's podcast sponsor, Calc. Given that rates are the highest they've been in decades, how can homeowners be convinced to move into a new home? With the trade mortgage powered by Calc, homeowners can buy before they sell, make non-contingent offers, and tap their home equity to fund the down payment on their next home. The result? Lenders help their clients negotiate a lower purchase price, reduce their interest payments, and eliminate PMI. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.